I want to see if anyone here remembers this video clip. So go ahead, Bri.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here. Join again for the Underdog Show, starring that champion of champions, Underdog.
Okay, so who remembers that show? Give me your hands. Who remembers that show? Okay, wow, look at that. A lot of you guys. I watched it as reruns with my grandfather. I'm being honest, okay? Have no fear. There's no need to fear. Underdog is here. The whole theme we're going to talk about is going from underdog to conquerors. And see, the Bible actually is full of underdogs. Now, we all look at the stories and we see the end and we say, look at all these heroes of the Bible, all these conquerors of the Bible. But for each one of those, there is an underdog story that precedes that. And that's what we're going to focus on for the next couple weeks, is those underdog stories. You see, underdog was kind of a cool superhero. First off, he's a dog. He wore basically underwear. You know, underdog, okay? So, but anyone remember what his job was? What was his other job, the alter ego? What was it? Anyone remember? No? What's that? Shoeshine man. There you go, shoeshine boy. Shoeshine boy. So he did the shoe shining. He would go around and shine people's shoes. And if there's a problem, he went in the phone booth real quick, you know, just like Superman. Changes real quick, come out as underdog. Okay, so for all you guys that don't know what that is yet, go home and YouTube it and watch this cartoon show. You'll have a blast with that. But he came out and he had super strength, super speed, super breath, can't forget that. Okay, and he would take care of the evildoers. But he was a shoe shiner, was the other side of his alter ego, which shoe shiners are not looked upon very highly. He's not somebody to look at to come save somebody. Not somebody you would say, okay, that guy is going to save somebody because he's just a shoe shiner. Underdog. We all love the underdog stories, right? If you look at most of the movies out, you're going to see underdog stories in pretty much all the movies we watch. You can name some. Name some of your favorite underdog movies. Give me some. What do you got? Rocky. Which one? Okay. Rudy. Another one, yes. Anything else? Guardians of the Galaxy. Like I said, you can keep going, right? Captain America. You want to go Marvel. Captain America is also an underdog story, right? A little scrawny dude, super soldier serum. Now he's also a hero. Any other ones? Power Rangers. We went Power Rangers, Melissa? Man. No. So, yes, all these different movies have underdog stories. So we're going to look at the Bible and see some of the underdog stories the next couple weeks. We all like those stories because I think we all relate to those stories in some way, shape, or form. You know, some would say their favorite movie is this one over here because of this story, because you kind of relate to that story. That's the cool thing about Scripture is that the stories in here, you can relate to them. And what you have, like I said, we focus on the heroes, right? But for each David, each Moses, I can keep naming them off. If you look back in their story, there's an underdog story. They didn't start out as heroes or conquerors. They started out as someone you look at and say, I doubt they're going to do that much. What can they do? Right? So as we look into this, the first we're going to look at here, let's go, I'm going to set the stage here for our first underdog story. And I'll be honest, this is probably one of my favorite underdog stories in the Bible. Okay, so we're going to set the stage. I'm going to read from Judges chapter 6. We're going to be there the whole morning, so you can just go to Judges chapter 6, just kind of hang out there. Judges chapter 6, verses 1 to 6. It says, Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Now, obviously you've heard this before, right? Okay, Israelites, as Justin said last week, they were owning their faith. Okay, just talked about that a couple weeks ago. Not owning your faith. Israelites weren't totally owning it. They were just kind of going about their regular everyday life. They kind of saw the good things God did. Then they said, okay, God, that was cool and all, but what about this? We need this. And they did stupid stuff. Okay, so they did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because of the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted the crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern people invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkey. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them on their camels. They invaded the land and ravaged it. Midian was so impoverished, the Israelites, that they cried out to the Lord for help. Again, this is a constant story you hear a lot, right? But I want to focus on the Midianites first. Okay, this was just your regular captivity. I mean, these guys were bad. They were bad news. I mean, they came in. Israelites had to go to their strongholds. They had to build tent areas in the clefts of the rocks. They were hiding wherever they could from these guys. They tried to plant crops. Midianites be like, nope, sorry, and they stomp out those crops. They just wipe them out. Very, very oppressive. Okay? So to start Underdog story, this is kind of gives you the start of it, which is you have the Midianites. They come in because the Israelites did something wrong, and they did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord said, you know what? I'm going to teach you a lesson. Meet the Midianites. And now you're at a point where you have the underdog story starting, right? You've got the Israelites. They are basically being oppressed. Whatever they do is being stomped out. They have to hide. They have to stay away from them, because if they don't, bad things happen by the Midianites. This is a normal thing that happens throughout Judges. You'll see a lot of this, which is you'll see them do evil in the sight of the Lord, and then along the way they say, okay, God, we get it. We screwed up. Forgive us. Bring us back. You know? And then God says, okay, you got the point now. Let's make a move. So here's what we got. So anyone know what the story is without going any farther? Who we're talking about? What's that? Gideon. This is one of my favorite characters in the Bible, stories in the Bible that talk about an underdog. You can go right now, right? Gideon is now in a situation where he is in Israel, where they are being oppressed by the Midianites. This is a big army. Okay, and it's not just them, it's the Amalekites too. So there's multiple people out there oppressing these guys. Now Gideon has a situation, right? So he is an underdog already just by the situation they're in. But we're going to focus not necessarily on the Midianites and the people that are oppressing them, focusing more on Gideon's being an underdog because he's battling an inner battle. So Gideon is battling himself. He's an underdog because of how he views himself. We're going to go into that here. This is Judges chapter 6, verse 11 to 14. So Gideon basically is going to do his job. Okay, he's hiding doing it. He's not doing it out in the open. He's doing it in a little secret spot. And then you have the angel of the Lord came and sat down under an oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abzarite, where his son Gideon was thrashing wheat in the winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" So you got a situation right now where Gideon is going to do his job, right? He's doing what he was called to do. And he says, this angel of the Lord comes and says, "Hey, I'm choosing you to be the hand to deliver my people." But the problem is Gideon doesn't quite think he's ready. He asks a lot of questions, right? I mean, first off, you know, he says, "I'm from the smallest group here," right? "I'm not from the biggest group," okay? He goes on to say that. He says, "I'm the smallest, from the smallest tribe, from the weakest tribe. I'm not even a man that has a lot of power. I'm not trained for these things." Then he says, pardon me also, but if you're going to deliver us, where have you been the whole time? Where is all these mighty works that the ancestors talked about? We're being oppressed here. So pardon me, well, you talked to me about God using me to save the people, but pardon me, where's God during all this? You see, what Gideon starts to struggle with is a self-doubt. Starts to say, you know, where have you been? What am I going to do? I'm not that strong. I'm weak. He says in verse 15, "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." So he says out front right now, my tribe is the weakest, the smallest. I am the weakest in my family. How am I going to be a warrior to take out the Midianites? How is that possible? You see, what he is basically, if you ever watch Lord of the Rings, he's the Frodo Baggins of the Old Testament. Okay, Lord of the Rings, you got this situation. You have all these different tribes, right? You got the elves, you got the dwarves, you got the humans, all these strong warriors, right? Then you got the hobbits, who are just these people doing about their business. Not looked upon very highly, not very strong, not trained warriors. But Frodo gets the ring. And Frodo is the one that carries that ring to completion, to where it's supposed to go. Right? So Gideon is a lot like the Frodo Baggins of the Bible. He's this guy that people look at and say, he's not going to save anyone. He's just going to do his small job over here like he's supposed to do, and that's as far as he's going to go. And that's where Gideon is still thinking his mind right now. He's thinking, how am I going to do this? Excuse me, but I don't think I'm the right guy. Can you pick someone else? It's not me. Can't be me. You know, we do that a lot. We sit there and say, excuse me, God, I don't think you got the right guy. I don't think you got the right girl. This is not me. Do you see me? I mean, come on. Really? You know, you have a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff from your past. And Justin talked about that last week. And sometimes we say that, God, have you seen what I got? It's not going to work. So Gideon is battling. He's got this underdog story right now of self-doubt. Like, he's just questioning everything. Excuse me, I can't fight those guys. They're big. They're mean. I don't do that. And the question is, how many of you guys have been there yourselves? Where you've been there and you sat there and thought to yourself, God, I hear you. But I'm not skilled in that area. I can't do that. I can tell you right now, Gideon was not a skilled warrior. But God called him to do that. But we so often will sit back and say, I can't do that. That's not my strength. It doesn't matter. If God is going to take you from that underdog to conqueror stage, we had to deal with the inside struggles. Gideon's was self-doubt. He had an issue with doubt altogether. So self-doubt was one of his biggest struggles. The other doubt he had, though, is he doubted God. We read that verse already. It said, pardon me, where were you during all this other stuff that happened? Where's all those great works that the ancestors talked to us about? Where's all that? He's doubting God. You know, the angel of the Lord's saying, this is what I want you to do. You're going to deliver the people. And he says, well, wait, where were you during all this stuff? It goes on, too. This is in verse 17 and 18. It says, Gideon replied, if now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that is really you talking to me. Please do not go away till I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. And the Lord said, I will wait until you return. So Gideon's not only got doubt, he's dealing with himself, right? He's also doubting God. Angel of the Lord is there, telling him what to do. I think he knows this is the angel of the Lord. I think he fully understands. He just doesn't want to accept the fact he's being called to do something he doesn't think he can do. So he says, tell you what, if you're really angel of the Lord, let me go. I'll be back. And we're going to test this. We're going to see if you're really angel of the Lord. So what happens is he goes and he gets some barley bread, he gets some meat, he comes back, he goes and he puts it on the stone, and the angel of the Lord says, tell you what, I got this. Takes a stick, touches it, and the stone comes up with fire and burns up the offering. And then Gideon says, wow, okay, I get it now. I get it. You're the angel of the Lord. I'll do what you want me to do, right? But he still struggled with that doubt of doubting God. He then does some great stuff, right? He goes out. I'm not going to read all these verses because we could be here for a while reading all the verses, but you can see in chapter 6, he's commanded by the angel of the Lord to go out, take a bull, take down the statue to Baal, okay, the pagan god, take that down, which he does. He does all that. So he pulls the statue down. Of course, people get a little angry. because they thought it'd be a good statue. He does what God tells him to do. The downside is that he doesn't just all of a sudden say, okay, God, you told me what to do. You protected me. I didn't get killed after doing it. You know, people didn't kill me. They didn't take me out and beat me or anything like that. So it must be you have me on the right track. So I'm going to keep going, God. I'm going to keep just battling the Midianites now. Let's go. You know, some of you guys may have been that way. You've been like, okay, that's awesome, God. You did this for me. I'm going to go do what you want me to do. Not Gideon. Gideon continues to question God. If you look at verses 36 to 40, it says, this is after the altar's been down, knocked down. He goes back to God. Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you said. And this is what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew and a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, do not be angry with me. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test that with the fleece. But this time, make the fleece dry and let the ground be covered with dew. That night, God did so. Only the fleece was dry. All the ground was covered with dew. So let's put this in perspective, okay? You've already seen the angel of the Lord take the meat and bread you brought, and fire came out of the stone to engulf it, right? And then Gideon says, okay, I know who you are now. We're good. He does what he's told to do. Then he comes back and says, but, you know, if you're really going to deliver the people by my hand, let me test you again. You see, God, I don't fully have my full confidence in you yet, so let me make sure this is what you really want. God's only said it a few times now, right? So he brings this idea. Here's some fleece. Tell you what, if you can make water just fall on that fleece, and I can wring out a bowl full afterwards, I know it's you. We're good. It happens, right? How many of us are like Gideon who says, but wait, hold on, let me test you just one more time to see if this is the right thing. This time, do it the opposite way. Let water fall on everything but the fleece. And then he does it again. But does it take that much for us to get the fact that God wants to use us? See, he's an underdog because he's dealing with the inner stuff. He doubts himself, he doubts God. His inner stuff that he deals with is doubt. Each of us is different. Some of our inner stuff may be anxiety, anger, depression. I can keep naming them off. The inner stuff that we deal with that holds us back from just jumping in. And we become an underdog because we got to deal with the inner stuff. Gideon was trying to deal with that. He finally came to terms with this whole thing. I didn't focus too much on the end of the story because we all know what happens with Gideon, right? He finally gets the point. This is the cool part of the story that we all remember. He then goes out, gets all these men gathered. God says, tell you what, that's too many. Again, God's still trying to build Gideon's confidence in him, right? Says, that's too many. He says, tell you what, why don't you say, whoever was scared, whoever's trembling with fear, they can go home. Gideon says, okay. Does that. What was the next one? Anyone remember what he did next to fit the amount? Drinking. Taking down the water, whoever goes down like a dog and laps the water like a dog, they're gone. Okay? Whoever goes down nicely, kneels, picks it up, keep them. 300 men are left. Now God's getting to Gideon, right? Now he's taking him from this underdog who has doubt in himself, doubt in God, to someone who's gone from that underdog stage to conqueror stage. He's gone from the, I don't know God, this isn't me, are you sure God, this is what you want, by the way? I mean, let me just tell you what you want, God. It may not be this. And now he's going to this conqueror stage of, tell you what, I know what you want now, I'm going to do what you want me to do. And then God says, tell you what, even if you are still a little bit afraid, mind you, he's still dealing with this stuff, right? He says, if you're still a little bit worried about this, why don't you go down to the outpost with your secondhand man here, your servant, and listen. And they go down there and then find out that the guys are talking about, the Midianites are talking about a dream he just had. And when he heard that dream, he's like, Okay, this is it. I fully got it now. Let's go. And then they did that cool thing with the trumpets and the torches. 100 men surround the camp on each side. 100 here, 100 here, 100 here. They blow it. They blow the trumpet. Sword of the Lord and Gideon. And they start chanting that. And then God works. Midianites come out of their tents. They're confused. You guys ever woken up in the middle of the night before? It's confusing, right? Not to mention trumpets blowing. Look like you're surrounded. They start killing themselves on accident. All the swords start flinging around to kill themselves. God does an awesome work, right? Through Gideon, who was an underdog. Underdogs are ones that we look at and say they're not going to amount to much. But the newsflash is we all can relate to Gideon because we all deal with something ourselves on the inside that make us underdogs, but until we understand that we have to put our full confidence in God, we keep being underdog. Gideon decides, you know what, I'm going to learn from this. So how does Gideon go from a doubter to a conqueror? Well, he finally gets the statements made in verse 14 and 16. So I'll read these again. Verse 14 says, "The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?'" So in verse 14, he finally understood the statement. Go with what you have. Am I not sending you? Meaning, I'm God. Am I not sending you? Do you think that I can't take care of you? Do you think I can't take what you have and make great things out of it? Let me tell you, this missions trip, we didn't all have experience in missions trips. But God took what we went with and used it in awesome ways. Verse 16 says, "The Lord answered, 'I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together.'" I will be with you. Gideon started to understand these verses that we just read. He started saying, okay, I remember that conversation. Yeah, you said, I'm with you and go with the strength I have. Am I not sending you? He also finally understands that God can use anyone. God actually loves the underdog, to be honest with you. Like I said, for every hero in the Bible you're going to look at, every conqueror, there's normally an underdog story to begin it. Because we like to look at the heroes, right? We skip the first part of the story where we say, that guy was actually an underdog. But he followed God's instructions anyways, right? So he's dealing with all this stuff, and he decides, you know what, I'm still going to follow God's instruction. Obviously, he still dealt with some of that doubt, right? Because he still went down to the outpost. It was still somewhat there. He didn't get it all out. In other words, whatever you're dealing with inside that causes to be an underdog, it's going to be there. You have to keep working through it. But God can still use you. God still used Gideon as soon as Gideon said, okay, tell you what, I'm going to do it. I think God was very patient with Gideon. I mean, think about it. Think about your own kids. When they question you that much, what do you say? What? Just do it. Come on. I asked you to do it. Go do it. I'm right here. I got you. Go. God was pretty patient with Gideon, I would say. From underdog to conqueror, you have these two stages. This underdog stage, we look at Gideon and say, how is this man who has no military experience, doubts himself, doubts God, kept asking God, hey, prove it to me again. How is he going to deliver the Israelites out of this oppressive nation of people that all they want to do is kill the Israelites? Cause havoc. God says, go with the strength you have. Am I not sending you? See, each of us deal with our own inner stuff. And God is saying, go with the strength you have. Go from this underdog stage and conquer for me. See, God is sending you somewheres. God has something for you to accomplish for him. Back to the missions trip, I know a couple of the teens said, what do I have to offer? Because they talked to me about it individually. So what do I have? And I pointed out some stuff they had they didn't know they had. How can God use that? I had a friend in high school in college who actually helped me in youth ministry for a while. His name was Sean. Okay? He came to me one day and said, Jeremy, I don't know what to do. I have this really passion for ministry, but the only thing I'm good at is art. How do I use art? Like, how do you use art? Man, you can do awesome stuff with that I can't even do, because I can't do art. But he thought that was made him an underdog because he only could do art. No, you're a conqueror, because when you take what strength you have, God makes you a conqueror. You see, we have to understand these concepts that we have stuff inside, each of us, that we have to deal with ourselves, whether it's self-doubt, doubting God, anger, anxiety. Like I said, we can go through the whole list of stuff. And we can step back and say, you know, God, I hear you, but I'm going to keep testing you and testing you and testing you and doubting you and doubting you, because I'm not sure I want to do that yet. Can you tell me again what you want me to do? But maybe God is talking to you this morning. Maybe God is saying, you know what? You are an underdog. And that's okay, because God loves that. Because God wants to use you. Anyone know why he chose to lighten the troops? Only have 300? He didn't want them to boast in their own skill. That's why God likes the underdog. Because God says, I'll take this underdog over here, and I'll make him into a conqueror. And everyone's going to say, look what God has done. See, you're being called to something this morning. Each and every day, you are called by God to a mission. As you walk out of here, there's a whole mission field out there. What is making you the underdog in that stage where you're stuck? What is keeping you there to where you can't say, God, make me a conqueror? Make me like Gideon, who went from this underdog, doubting himself, doubting you, to the guy who is spoken of as a guy who beat the Midianites with 300 men. God, move me from here to there, as Pastor Mike would say. We have to get to that point. If we're going to go from underdog to conqueror, we have to understand that we have to put confidence in God's strength and that he will take care of the inner stuff that we're dealing with. And when you do that, you will move from the underdog stage to the conqueror stage, and you're going to see how God can work. Let me tell you, have you ever seen it before? It's amazing. You know, the mission trip, I saw a lot of teens and some adults that were there, out of their comfort zone at times. And I think this is really their strength, not really my strength. When they finally stepped and said, you know what, I'm going to move from here to there, they conquered. They achieved the mission they went there for. God would do the same for you. So throughout the next couple weeks, as we keep talking about from underdogs to conquerors, I challenge you to not just take this home and set it aside. Let's make an evaluation process. Take it home. Look at it. What on the inside is causing you to be an underdog, like Gideon was, who was doubting? Everyone looking at him and saying, nope, he's not going to make it. It wouldn't be Gideon. No way it'd be Gideon. I can go to David too, right? No, it'd be David. And David's a shepherd boy. No way he could take on Goliath and be king. Or even keep going. Think about what is holding you back from going from, yes, I'm an underdog, I'm going to stay in the underdog stage, to going from underdog to conquer. Think about that. What is holding you back from that? Because you got a great God, an awesome God, a powerful God that can take whatever you have, and he can take it and make it great, if you allow it. So the question is, throughout the week, are you going to allow it? Spend time in prayer with God. God, here's what I got. Take it. Make me a conqueror. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this time we can look at your word, look at Gideon, see how he was an underdog, but you took him. You took the strengths he had. You took the stuff that he had. Even though he doubted you and doubted himself, you used him because he finally gave in and said, I'm putting my confidence in you. Lord, help us to be like Gideon and say, I'm going to be a conqueror now. I'm going to get past these things that are holding me back, past these things that are keeping me down in this underdog stage, and I want to be a conqueror. Lord, you are a great and powerful God, And when you stand by us, we can do all things. Verses say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and you are our strength and our power. Lord, take what we have and use it in awesome ways. Praise your name. Amen.